This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Mike Pritchard sitting in for Michael Lombardi today. If you're just joining us, the big news, we broke it here first on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That is Deshaun Watson, Pritch, six-game suspension elevated to 11, a $5 million fine, which is going to be donated to charity. So what's fascinating about this, and I want to get into the Bears because you were doing a great job starting with the breakdown of the Bears. Of course, the Bears up in Seattle tonight, 3.5 with Seattle Lane. Mm-hmm. And just quickly on Watson, he is going to be eligible to return week 12 against Houston in Houston, obviously where he started his career, then had some turmoil. You know, the irony runs deep with these two teams, with the team in Cleveland in particular, because right. They open up the Baker Bowl down in Carolina. You know who loves all this? You know who loves this beautiful mess? The NFL, Pritch. The NFL very much loves the drama.
They do. The NFL is all about drama, if you have not noticed at all yet, Patrick. You know, it's interesting about the Deshaun Watson saga, now that it's over, because we watched the press conference, and one thing I observed was relief. Relief from Deshaun.
Really?
Yeah. Body language, relief from the front office. I mean, everybody giving a statement right there. It's like, now it's over. Now we can move on. Now we're going to accept this this situation and deal with it. And so thinking about it as a former player, as a player, we are programmed to forget and move on, right? We are programmed that way, Patrick. And so I'm wondering, looking forward for the Cleveland Browns, now that they have this finalized, everything's over, they can move forward. If Brissett is the guy, okay, let's embrace him, let's empower him, let's rally around this guy, and certainly have the belief in the building that we're going to still have a decent season. Now, when Deshaun comes back, we'll reevaluate right that. But it, just looking at that press conference, it just looked like everybody was finally free of this situation, and now everybody can move forward.
Oh, that's fascinating, Pritch. So let's follow up on that, because in my studio, I don't have the TV on, so I wasn't watching the presser. So, and I know you don't have the volume on in studio, but you're telling me immediately after the decision, they, the Cleveland Browns, along with Deshaun, went and gave a presser, and you could kind of read through the body language there was some relief there in the room.
Yeah, I've been at that podium many, many times, and you know, you can tell, yes, when somebody's nervous or somebody's apprehensive or somebody's defensive or somebody relaxed. And you know, I go back to when Deshaun Watson getting on a bus or getting off the bus, I can't remember exactly, but he gave that comment and he actually apologized, you know. And I think from the NFL standpoint, they were looking for attrition that way. They were looking for some type of notice from Deshaun Watson that, look, wait a minute, we think that your punishment was light, but yet you're still saying that you haven't done anything wrong. The league got what it wanted, Patrick, and that's precedent. You know, Deshaun Watson is going to have to go through some therapy sessions, mandatory therapy, and he's going to have to get reevaluated this way. And so the league wanted that precedent. Then they also got Deshaun admitting to something affecting some people, which he did. And so once the league got that, I think it opened the door for that settlement. And now that you have the settlement and now you can move forward, you know what the suspension is, that's going to be a relief to a lot of people. Now, there was a distraction before, but like I mentioned, we are programmed as athletes to forget a bad play. If I drop a touchdown pass, forget about it. Move on to the next play. And so I think the Cleveland Browns at least have a chance to do that right now.
Yeah, with respect to Deshaun, and I'm trying to be respectful here, that was a sham when he gave that forced apology, because you know he had to do it. He said just the week before he had no remorse because he did nothing wrong, and then he came out and said, I'm sorry for those that I've affected. Anyway, we're a betting network. I won't go there, Pritch, and I won't make it awkward. Now, 8.5, DraftKings and, of course, BetMGM have posted 8.5. It's heavily juiced to the under. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction here. Just the ability to run the football, and I think the defense has gotten better. I think 8.5 feels a little light on this Cleveland team. What are your thoughts as far as the 8.5? Big time juice to the under as well.
Big time juice. Yeah, I'm curious about the defense, and like I mentioned, the structure of the offense is probably a plus, an advantage for Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he's not a prolific passer. He's not a pocket passer. He's not a progression type of guy, and you're going to have to run the football. The only concern I would have would be the center situation. J.C. Treader, again, let's say bring him back somehow, but I don't know. But, you know, the situation at center, because of all the calls that are going to take place on the field, and now you have Brissett out there on the field too. So Brissett and that combo with the young center, hopefully they get an experienced guy in there. That one is unsettling a little bit from a betting standpoint, Patrick. So I want to see how they work through that situation. But yeah, I mean, the blueprint for the Cleveland Browns are going to run the football and play defense all year long.
Okay, this is from Santos, Diana Russini on Twitter. The signing of this settlement only means Watson is ending the legal process. This has nothing to do with admission of guilt. Those close to him share with me, Russini, today he regrets putting himself in the position, quote, this isn't an admission of an apology to the women involved. My gosh, he needs better PR. What a disaster.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Rich.
It's ridiculous at that point but he did look relieved at the podium, and that's the body language that, like we said, we didn't have the sound. I don't know if that is tone deaf, really, to be honest with you.
You nailed it.
Right.
Totally tone deaf, Rich.
Right. But the fact that he has, at least the league, has mandated evaluation and treatment. You know, that right there is therapy. I mean,
yeah,
anybody who's right. I mean, that's therapy. So the league mandated that part of the settlement. From the league standpoint, they're satisfied that way. You know, the settlement that Deshaun Watson has had with all these women, I mean, we don't know what the details of those are. But yeah, I mean, it's really tone deaf to kind of have a statement released that way.
Yeah, this drama started with therapy, mm-hmm. and it ends with therapy. Okay, we'll put a bow on the Deshaun Watson drama for now. And what I love about having you, and I always say this, like, no other network's going to have a 9-year vet that gives you invaluable information like Mike Pritchard. So let me start here. If you go to DraftKings right now and BetMGM, the Chicago Bears are sitting at 6.5 on their season win total. Mm-hmm. When I tell you this is a 3-win team, it's probably a 2-win team. And I got a question for you about being on bad teams. But even if you look at how the new regime has built this team in the offseason, they gave a bunch of 1-year deals. And you know what 1-year deals are in the NFL, Pritch? They're prove-it deals.
Right.
Because next year, after this season, next offseason, Chicago, new general manager, new coach, they're going to have a ton of cap space. They don't have it right now.
Right.
They've got a dreadful offensive line. They've got sieves, no offense, at wide receiver. They've got a second-year quarterback that got hit more than anybody last year in Fields when he was in there. I mean, the idea that this is a 7-win team is ridiculous. Now, we talk about the Bears because they're up in Seattle tonight, and Seattle's laying 3.5. That got as high as 5.5, and then the Drew Lock news. I'm going to start here. Pritch, what's it like entering a season, being on a terrible team, where low-key, you know you're not going to win anything, but you're still rah-rah, giving it your best? But, I mean, the Chicago Bears players have to understand this is a bad football team.
Well, you know what, Patrick? Out of sight, out of mind, though, because if you got a lot of young players they don't know, right? You have Roquan Smith. They do know. They want to get out of there. So I think you got to look at the mix of the roster and look at the veteran presence on that roster, or look at the fact that, okay, maybe you got a bunch of new guys or young guys that's trying to make a name for themselves in this league. So it's – to your point, I mean, if you're better, you have to investigate the Bears. I mean, I agree with you with the win total under situation. I mean, Eberflus as a head coach and Ryan Poles as a GM. I mean, this was forged a long time ago. This was a plan for those two guys who have the same agent a while ago. If Poles were going to get hired, okay, Eberflus, you're going to be my coach, and okay, I'm going to work with you, Poles, at some point. So we got this plan, whether it was hatched on a golf course or somewhere, right? And it's a long-term plan. And they have a quarterback they're curious about, which is Justin Fields, certainly. I try to keep him healthy. But, no, they want to build this thing. That's part of the blueprint. That's part of the process that they want to go through. But along the way, as a young player, I got to understand that, and I got to make a name for myself if I want a job with the Chicago Bears.
You're with me, though, Pritch. This is not a 7-win team. This
No.
is not a 6-win team. They're 6.5. Now, again, over at DraftKings, you got to pay $1.90 to the under 6.5. I'd feel comfortable paying it because, like I said, they gave a bunch of 1-year deals. They know the cap space is coming in the next offseason, the Bears. Allen Robinson is gone. That means Mooney, who had a nice little connection with Fields last year. You got Byron Pringle, who came in as a free agent. N'Keal Harry's out indefinitely, who they brought in. Velus Jones Jr., the rookie, third-round kid out of Tennessee. I mean, they just don't have anything on the outside. And maybe the best unit is Montgomery and Herbert behind Fields, but the offensive line is horrible. Mm-hmm. Most, you look across the board, have them rated 32 of 32 as far as a unit. And Kramer, the kid they drafted, the center, he's out.
Right.
So this is a bad football team.
It really is. There's nothing to be excited about. And again, the dynamic in the locker room indicates that too. When you got the older guys, like, get me out of here. I don't care. Trade me, you know, away from right. here. Right. But then you have the young players that are energized. They're ready to make a name, like I said, or have a job, have a career in the league. And that's what the Bears are going to be about all year long. God forbid the injuries start to happen too. I mean, now they really take a step backwards. And so to me, I've never been in this situation, Patrick, when you know you're going to be horrible. I mean, when you have great teammates, and fortunately for me, I had great teammates, and it was like you never went into the year like, oh my gosh, we're going to just have a miserable year. You think you have a chance. There's some optimism. So I think it's out of sight, out of mind right now. That's why you have so many young players on this roster for the Chicago Bears. We'll see if they can overachieve it all, but I wouldn't bet that they would overachieve this year, though.
Yeah, it does. 7 wins feels ridiculous. You see, the juice is only $1.45 yeah. over at BetMGM on the under 6.5. By the way, when we come back, I want to continue with this and get to Seattle. I've got wide receiver questions for you as well, Pritch, and Santos did a great job building the graphics. Here is, you watch the presser with no volume. Mm-hmm. Here's what Watson told reporters today in the presser. Quote, I stand on my innocence. I always said I never assaulted or disrespected anyone. There were a lot of people triggered. That's the reason he apologized. Quote, there were a lot of people triggered. Deshaun Watson needs a new PR team yesterday, like 2 days ago. This is disastrous the way he's handling it. We continue. It's the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, thank you, Brent Musburger. It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. It has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. Bring your state-issued ID to open an account, and you're ready to go, whatever your sport, whatever your style. Again, got to be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, he's out giving speeches. He's doing what kings do, Michael Lombardi. So he'll be back soon. In his stead today, 9-year NFL vet, our teammate here at VSiN, Pritch. Pritch, I just got to tell you, I love working with you, bro. I love taking swings with you, man, because it's just, you're the gentleman, so I try to spice it up and see if I can make you uncomfortable.
No. It's great to work with you as well. And I can spice it up with you now, too.
I mean, sometimes you can.
Up here, you know, your head starts to swim a little bit with all this information, but no, I'll spice it up with you. Just stay tuned for that.
And I know he definitely can off the air, but we won't go there. We're going to be joined coming up in about 7 minutes, Brad Biggs, who covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Plus, I want to walk you through 3 wide receiving corps, the Packers, the Ravens, mm-hmm. and your Broncos. We'll get to those in just a little bit. Now, we talked about 6.5 being a ridiculous number, Pritch, as far as the Bears. Let's talk Seattle. You know, I was kind of kidding, but I kind of wasn't. We all agree that the answer is not Drew Lock, and the answer is not a 31-year-old Geno Smith. So what does this mean? I joked that they're just keeping the seat warm for C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young coming out of the college game next year in the draft. But it's an interesting spot for Seattle. It is a rebuild. They trade Russell Wilson, and it's a loaded NFC West. They also move on from Bobby Wagner, who's a king there. But mm-hmm. they do extend D.K. Metcalf. Part of the trade, Noah Fant comes in. Tyler Lockett's there. They improved the offensive line, Pritch, with Charles Cross, the first rounder. They took a tackle in the 3rd round. They drafted Kenneth Walker, the 3rd, out of Michigan State. By the way, he's injured. But this is, you know, it's a defense that Jordan Brooks is going to be a stud. This is a team that still has a little something with Seattle. Let's start there, then I'll set you up on the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely, Patrick. I mean, I think Rashad Penny, too. Don't forget about that guy. He's been riddled with injuries throughout his career. But as a better, you got to understand Pete Carroll and the process of the Seattle Seahawks. Snyder included in this process too, Patrick. I mean, 5.5 is interesting, the over minus 140, because the process that Pete Carroll believes in was successful. right? You find all these guys, mid-rounders, you build through the draft, and you create this competitiveness level at practice, and then you get a lot of production. You get a lot of guys that buy into that, and you get a lot of guys thinking that their job is on the line each and every week, and therefore it translates onto the field with wins, right? And every once in a while, you'll throw in a first-rounder, a stud player that way, but the meat of this roster is going to be competitive. So I would start there as a better. And so when you're looking at the Seattle Seahawks and evaluating right there, look at the quarterback situation. You want Drew Lock to not be an entitled brat. You want him to be a competitor, right? But he's an entitled brat still. So you wonder, okay, Geno Smith, is this his team at that point? And okay, what am I going to see from him tonight? You also worry about injuries, though, because I don't think they're complete with this roster. I know that Seattle wants to be competitive, ultra competitive, and kind of mimic what they did years ago when they got to the Super Bowl and they had that Super Bowl window open for several years. But I just don't know if the roster is similar to what it was throughout the 2011, 2012, and into the Super Bowl run that the Seattle Seahawks had.
Yeah, 5.5. You nailed it, Pritch. Both BetMGM and DraftKings are sitting 5.5 with Seattle. What's fascinating, by the way, I said I was the spicy one. Then Pritch comes over the top calling Drew Lock a spoiled brat. This is why I love you. By the way, the Bears sitting 6.5. And yes, I understand the juice is large on the under, but the Bears sitting 6.5 and mm-hmm. Seattle sitting 5.5 with Carroll, knowing what you have there is a joke. Okay, I understand that's a loaded division, but I actually think the Seattle team could be a little surprising. Mm-hmm. Geno's going to be the starter. You know what's interesting is Michael told me, and pride is a very dangerous thing, Pritch, mm-hmm. but apparently Schneider, the general manager, loved Locke coming out of Missouri. So there's a little bit of wanting to pay off his prognostication on Locke. He'd like to see him be the starter. But I think in the end, we're going to see Geno, and certainly Geno getting the reps tonight with Locke being out with COVID.
Yeah.
Locke was supposed to start tonight. This is a big miss for Drew Locke.
It really is. It really is unfortunate, to be honest with you, because I mean, I never want ill will on anybody's career. I mean, I want Drew Locke to get it. That's the whole point. I mean, I went through the Jeff George era, right, Patrick? And you fall in love with the skill set. I played against him in college. You fall in love with everything that he represents as a quarterback, throwing a football. But in terms of being a leader, in terms of what it's going to take to help you win games in the league, he just didn't have it. And so I know Schneider loves Locke that way, but he just doesn't present himself as a guy that has it. Maybe he'll develop into that. And hopefully he does. Hopefully it's not too late. But from a quarterback competition standpoint, from a betting standpoint, what we're focused on right now, Geno Smith is a better option for Seattle. And so could this team overachieve? I believe they can. They still have to stay healthy, though. And that's my only caveat to the Seattle Seahawks in their season this year.
The highlight of Drew Locke's career was actually a clip of him lip syncing to Jeezy's Put on the sideline, right. Which is, you don't want your highlight to be lip syncing to a rap song by Jeezy, who, by the way, is my favorite rapper. I named my dog after Jeezy. Mm-hmm. But like you said, that's not the highlight you want to be number one if you're Drew Locke.
No, it's not. It's not. And the fans love that, by the way, out there in Denver. I mean, they ate it up, right? Oh, we found our guy. And no, you did not, because he's spoiled. No. He's entitled. And that's a big problem, for today's players, too. I mean, you want these guys to earn it. And to me, Pete Carroll is the epitome of a coach in the National Football League that's going to make you earn it on their roster.
So let's start here with the wide receivers and go to the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know if you noticed, Pritch, what's awesome about Aaron Rodgers is he's 100% a hippie now, which is cool. I mean, he's dropping shrooms, he's taking ayahuasca. Yeah, he's embracing his hippie-ness. But here is the point. Losing Davante Adams, who, you know, he's a guy that's going to catch 150 balls. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. This is a big deal for a Packer team that's a prohibitive favorite in the North. You've got Minnesota. I think Minnesota's skill position-wise is better outside of Rodgers, of course. But let's take a look at the wide receivers, because you heard the news yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was very vocal talking about the young receivers dropping balls in practice. He was saying this in the media. This was very purposeful on Rodgers' part. Bad routes. Wide receiver one is Allen Lazard. Nice player, 6'5", nice player. He caught 40 balls last year on 60 targets. Sammy Watkins had a terrible year in Baltimore. He's injured. Randall Cobb is 31. Christian Watson and Dobbs, they're both rookies. Like, Rodgers makes people better, but I don't know what you can turn this wide receiving core into, Pritch.
Well, he's given you an inside look of his standard. Be honest with you, Patrick. I said this yesterday in terms of you quarterback to the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, they're perfectionists. They demand perfection out there. And if you're not doing that as a wide receiver, you're going to hear about it. The fact that he went vocal, obviously he feels like these guys can handle it. Or he wouldn't have done that. I think he would have been tactful. I think he would have had a better approach. But I think he feels like these guys can handle the criticism. But they're going to need to anyway, because they're going to hear it all year from a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And so I think it's incumbent upon these young players to get on the same page and elevate their standard. You know, do not have a drop out there. There's a such thing as a perfect practice where a ball does not hit the ground, because we certainly don't want balls to hit the ground during a game, right, or during the playoffs. And if this is an indicator of the focus level of Aaron Rodgers right now, if they can get it together, that bodes well. I mean, they need to be better in the playoffs, right? You cannot let plays go by anymore after winning 13 games during the regular season and then, okay, losing in the playoffs. You can't do that. You can't settle for that. So I think Aaron Rodgers is conveying his standard to these younger players, and they have to receive it. They have to.
No, I'm just saying. So don't get on me. I'm just saying. I'm looking at the division right now at DraftKings. The Packers are minus 190. The Vikings are plus 265. Mm-hmm. You think Aaron Rodgers would like to have Justin Jefferson?
Oh,
you
boy.
Think he'd like to have Adam Thielen? You think he'd like to have those? Like, this is, I mean, look, again, Alan Lazard, nice player. WR1, no.
No. No, no. Christian Watson, he's coming close. I mean, eventually I think he'll get there. Dobbs is awesome too, a playmaker. But no, Justin Jefferson is a premier player. Thielen catches 10 touchdown passes for you in the red zone, perhaps. And then don't forget about K.J. Osborne, too. I think their entire receiving core up there in Minnesota is really going to love this offense, this new offense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. 11.5. Look, and you just – You pointed out, which is generally glossed over with Rodgers. Rodgers has to play better in the postseason.
Right.
This is a career-wise thing. Like, this is something he has not, outside of the championship, we understand, but he has continuously not played well. He's played okay, but not played. I'm thinking San Francisco a couple of years ago when he went there and just absolutely looked dispirited. He has not played well in the postseason.
Right. Agree with you. And he's exposed right now because he doesn't have Davante Adams, right? I mean, think about that. You can, if you mess up as a quarterback, a lot of times players like that can save you. Now he doesn't have that. And not that he's stressed out by it. I'm sure he's confident in his abilities, Patrick, but he needs to raise the level of the standard around his players, and I think he's trying to do that right now.
Davante Adams was quite a security blanket. We
yes.
still got the Ravens and Broncos wide receiving core to get to. Brad Biggs, Chicago Tribune, joins us next to talk Bears outlook.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, a week from today, the NFL guide drops. You're going to need this. You want to make some cash? Make sure you get it. The college football betting guide is out. But remember, the only way this season to get access to this year's football betting guides, both college and pro, is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Right now, you can save 50%. When I tell you $175, you get everything we offer, the kitchen sink, including the two guides. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. I pour through the college football betting guide daily because you're going to need a lot of time. It's like 350 pages. It's digital. And the one thing I will say, and the NFL guide is going to be just like this as well, it's so easy to navigate. I'm telling you, I started betting when I was 13 in Michigan. I wish I had this information. Go check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, Mike Pritchard in for Michael Lombardi here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to talk to Brad Biggs, who covers the Chicago Bears, Pritch, for the Chicago Tribune. And we say hi to Brad. First off, thank you, Brad, for joining. And then secondly, I'll start here. You covered Nagy and the Bears. So far, what's the early return on covering Matt Eberflus?
Well, I mean, it's a brand new era, guys. They're going to go from one of the oldest rosters in the league a year ago. The expectations at this time last year, it was, you know, challenge for the playoffs or else, which was kind of a tricky dynamic because they were trying to bring along a first-round draft pick and Justin Fields at the quarterback position while they had to win. That's that's always a dicey combination, I think, when you've got a rookie quarterback and expectations that you're going to challenge for the postseason. But they had a veteran defense with some older guys on big contracts, a lot of them that have since moved on, and now it's about rebuild, and they're kind of uncomfortable using that word at Hallis Hall, because I think there's concern that that maybe isn't what you want to sell the fan base, but I think you've got to be upfront with people and honest about where you are, where you're at, which is they're, you know, at the ground floor trying to build this thing back up with like I said, a younger roster. He's got people that are hungry. They've got depth chart openings all over the place on both sides of the ball. So that's created competition, and therefore they've had a pretty good vibe during training camp. You've got young guys that believe they have an opportunity and a chance. How's this team going to look week one against the San Francisco 49ers? I'm not sure just yet, but they feel like they can make progress this season. They feel like there's a chance that they're going to have some young guys develop and turn into answers for some of the many questions that you have across the roster.
You know, Brad, it's that delicate balance, too, because you got the new GM, you got a new administration, really, a new coach. The older players, they understand that. Roquan Smith, part of that group that understands that, wants to move on. But how do they, I guess, how do they convey that message? And more importantly, how do they keep Justin Fields healthy as they reestablish this roster moving forward?
Well, they hopefully they're better on the offensive line than they were a year ago, and they didn't make a lot of big moves in the offseason, you know, early in the offseason anyway. They drafted four linemen, but all of them came round five and later. So you're looking at it and you're saying, hey, well, how are they going to be better up front? And I think they realized that they needed to go out and get help right before training camp. They signed Riley Reiff, 11-year veteran, who's primarily played tackle in his career. They signed Michael Schofield, a guard who's been around the block many years with a couple different teams. So they got some experience into the mix there. Right now they've got a fifth round pick lining up at left tackle, a rookie in Braxton Jones, who comes out of Southern Utah. He's interesting because he's athletic. And I was surprised last week, guys, preseason opener against Kansas City when they pulled the starters after 18 snaps, Jones came out. Sometimes you see those young guys get a little bit more of a run in preseason games to get experience, but I think that was a positive sign for him and told you a lot about how they feel about him. So they've got to figure out if he can actually play there for them. They've got to determine if they want the veteran Schofield at right guard or if they want to turn to maybe Tevin Jenkins, a second-round pick who a year ago missed most of the season after back surgery during training camp. Looks like Reiff will play right tackle if Braxton Jones can hold down that left tackle spot. So they've got to be better. Fields has got to be better at getting the ball out of his hand on time, right? He's got to play in rhythm. You hold the ball too long, and that's when some of those collisions and big hits can come for quarterbacks.
Brad Biggs joining us here. Lombardi Line does a great job covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Again, the Bears win total, Brad, is set at 6.5. This doesn't feel like a 7-win team if you want to go over the posted total of 6.5. Let's go back to Fields. If I were to poll Bears fans, are they completely sold on Justin Fields now?
I guess to address the first part of it, when you talk about the 7 wins, if you felt like the over there was a prudent move, I think the one thing you're probably trying to hang your hat on or get behind is the fact that the schedule doesn't look as difficult as it was a year ago. And one of the real things I look at when you're in the off season, even in the preseason, is, okay, what quarterbacks do they have to face? Right. We know the Bears have got Justin Fields. Who are they going up against? And last year, you know, they had a murderer's row of quarterbacks they had to face. And this year, the way the schedule stacks up, yeah, they're going to catch a Josh Allen. We know they're going to play Aaron Rodgers twice every year, but it's not as difficult as it was a year ago. So that might provide people with some optimism if they're thinking about putting their money behind the over there. In terms of Bears fans and how they feel about Fields, listen, guys, there's a segment of Bears fans who have their navy and orange tinted sunglasses on around the clock. They're like Corey Hart. They wear their sunglasses at night, and they think the next quarterback of the Bears is going to be the replacement for Hall of Famer Sid Luckman, whose playing days have long been over. Some Bears fans are a little more skeptical. Listen, statistically, Fields was terrible last year, terrible. And if you go back over the last decade and look at rookie quarterbacks who statistically performed like he did in 2021, there's not a lot of examples of guys who wind up breaking through and become the guy for the franchise. And so maybe the Bears were poorly coached last year. Maybe he didn't have a whole lot around him. Maybe he can kind of buck that trend moving forward, but he doesn't have a lot around him right now. I mentioned questions on the offensive line. You look at their wide receiver group, and it's among the least inspiring in the league outside of Darnell Mooney. I don't know that any of their guys will be drafted by fantasy football players. So you've got questions about that. They think that Luke Getsy, the first-year offensive coordinator who came over from Green Bay, can really sort of accentuate some of Justin Fields' strengths and his positives. They're going to lean on running the football. So we'll have to see which direction it goes.
Okay, Brad, I just have 30 seconds. Quickly on tonight, Eberflus has said 6 to 10 reps for the first-teamers, right? We're not going to see them much.
Yeah, if you're pulling your dinner off the grill and you sit down a little bit late, you might miss the starters. I'm thinking 2 series max.
Well, the rumor is Brad Biggs wears his sunglasses indoors as well, and that's why he gave a cool interview there. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate you. At Brad Biggs on Twitter, Chicago Tribune. That was awesome information. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Have a great day, guys.
Okay, you too.
Yep.
Hey, you know what I took from that?
What's that? Pitch?
He's kind of into this team. And again, sometimes the guys that cover teams directly can be negative because they're just around the team so much and they see the warts. He didn't blush at that 6.5 because essentially what he said was, if you get better quarterback play and offensive line play, they're going to get to 7 because the schedule's not hard.
Well, this team is completely different. Think about it, Patrick. If you covered Chicago Bears for any amount of time, significant amount of time, this is a departure from what you know about the Bears. Like, I have no clue what they're going to be like on defense. I know Fangio. Right. I played against Fangio when he was a linebackers coach with the New Orleans Saints. And so I could follow the Bears for a number of years, or depending on their personnel, depending on their coaching situation. Right now, I have no clue about Alan Williams, their defensive coordinator, and what's going to play out on the field from a defensive standpoint. So I'm glad he's excited. I am not excited about the Bears this year at all.
No, dude, I am. Again, we like the positivity,
right?
And positivity is what's needed in the world today. I am not positive about the Chicago Bears at all.
Yeah.
Okay, we continue. We've got the Ravens and the Broncos wide receivers to get to with Pritch next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points and redeem them for online bonus credits, free bets, risk-free tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into reward points. So you can use them for dining and shows and hotel rooms. It's incredible. It's You know, when you use your credit card, you get points. That's the same thing at BetMGM. It's the best. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you do have an issue, make sure you check that out. We are presented by BetMGM. This is the Lombardi Line. Hope you're having a nice week. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Mike Pritchard. That's my guy sitting in for Michael Lombardi today. So we'll get to the wide receivers, but just to reiterate what we know here, Pritch, and that is 11 games for Deshaun Watson, a $5 million fine. And those that didn't know, Pritch is also a professional body language reader because the press conference was given right after the 11 games was handed down. And Pritch said whether it was the Cleveland Browns brass or Deshaun Watson, there was big time relief that he saw within the room. What's interesting about that is as I take a look, while there was relief, there wasn't contrition because Deshaun Watson has released a couple of statements where he said, I stand on my innocence. I always said I never assaulted or disrespected anyone. He said he apologized. Remember, he apologized before week one of the preseason, Pritch. He said he did that because, quote, there were a lot of people triggered.
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people will say that the NFL reacted the way that they did because people were triggered too, though. But the NFL did what they were supposed to do. They filed the appeal. They were not happy with the punishment. They also wanted to set precedent because think about it this way too, Patrick. It doesn't end, unfortunately. It doesn't end with the behavior of Deshaun Watson. Another player somewhere, somehow, is going to do something just as egregious or just as serious in terms of offending people or crossing the line with people. Maybe they're going to be tone deaf to it as well, right? But now there's a precedent out there, mandatory treatment evaluation. Certainly for Deshaun Watson, he's in line for that part of this this process, this settlement. But it's up to Deshaun Watson as a person to be better. Patrick, you know, and again, this is a betting network, but just because you're famous doesn't make you a great person. I know a lot of famous people that are just not great people, or a lot of great athletes are just not great people. And it's unfortunate that Deshaun Watson is tone deaf to that.
What's fascinating, you used the perfect word. You said egregious. Mm-hmm. The NFL, remember, when the NFL appealed Sue L. Bird's six-game suspension, they were appealing on the grounds of this case was the most egregious as far as information and evidence the NFL had ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then they go up to 11 games. Anyway, I don't want to get into the kangaroo court nature of it. I think you said it perfectly, so we'll move on. But again, you heard it here first on VSIN. That is Deshaun Watson, 11 games. So he'll be eligible to come back week 12 at Houston. Drama. The right. NFL capitalizes on drama. Okay. So I picked the Packers. I picked the Ravens. And I picked the Broncos as far as wide receivers because certainly for all three teams, the expectations are sky high. The Ravens. Let's go there. Hollywood Brown is gone. Here's the question. Can Rashad Bateman become wide receiver one? 46 catches his rookie year. Devin Duvernay, we know he's speedy, Pritch. He's 5'11", just 33 catches last year. Mm-hmm. Prochet, also 5'11", 16 catches last year. Tylan Wallace, you know, these are unproven wide receivers for a team that you take a look at DraftKings right now. The Ravens are your favorites in division. And what Michael tells me is that they're going to switch up the offense a little bit with Lamar Jackson going under center a little bit more. Where are you right now? You see the wide receiver depth chart in front of you, Pritch. Mm-hmm. Where are you right now with the Ravens?
Not that high in terms of their skilled positions, obviously individually, and ability, right? You asked about Bateman. I mean, time will tell what he turns into. The thing about this offense, though, Patrick, what I want to focus in on is Lamar Jackson wanting to evolve as a passer. He's bulked up a little bit, certainly. He can do it. We know what he can do from an athletic standpoint. I said this years ago when Lamar Jackson first got into the league that when he threw the ball, he was throwing the ball to a lesser athlete. When he handed the ball off, he was handing the ball off to a lesser athlete, right? But to win games in the National Football League, you got to be a quarterback. You got to throw the ball. You got to find other playmakers. You have to win from the pocket. And so I'm looking for Lamar Jackson to evolve that way. Now, does he have the receiving core to help him? I don't believe so. I don't think it's going to be a big departure from what the Ravens have done and accustomed to. And maybe not out of the gun as much, maybe under center for more of the play action, a true play action, but it also gives you the ability to be drop back at times too. So he's got an excellent, excellent tight end, which I think is going to help him out. But as far as a receiving core, it's not one of those elite receiving cores that you'll find in the National Football League.
I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to target week one, mm-hmm. Baltimore at the Jets. I think it's an overreaction, Pritch. Baltimore open 5 with the quarterback news with Wilson there with the Jets. Right now, Baltimore is laying 7.
Okay.
Week one, by the way, first off, week one is so random.
Right.
Everybody's on the same playing field. The energy's there for everybody. Salah is a big-time rah-rah type of dude. And you take a look, Flacco is very competent as a backup. But there's a couple other reasons why I do love the Jets week one catching the 7 mm-hmm. at home to open the season. And here it is. The run game is so important for the Ravens, Pritch. J.K. Dobbins is iffy for week one. Gus Edwards with the knee is iffy for week one. Mike Davis is banged up right now. So I told you the questions at wide receiver, outside of Mark Andrews, his security blanket. The Jackson contract still kind of looms over the team. He gave them a firm week one deadline. Mm-hmm. But specifically, it's the running backs being banged up, going on the road. The Jets are going to be hype. Lane 7 is too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, especially if they don't have the running game going. And Lamar Jackson, I guess you can revert back to that. You can get back to the RPO and run Lamar Jackson if you want to, but then will he get hurt like he did last year, right? But he's bulked up. I'll give him credit for that. He's kind of paying attention to his body. But yeah, if you're expecting Lamar Jackson to be that finished product week one against the Jets from a pocket passer standpoint, that to me is a big challenge, right? And so maybe there is an opportunity catching 7 points here. Defensively, a lot of question marks too with the new coordinator. They're still going to play the same Ravens defense. I get that. But it's a different coordination. It's a different voice that are playing as they're calling these plays, right? So we'll see how the communication goes that way and how the personnel can step up for the Baltimore Ravens this year that way.
Well, Pritch, you're literally the only person here at the network that can answer this question, so I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. As a bettor, you know, I've been warned for years and years now with the pros that I know, professional bettors, like, careful week one.
Right.
Walk me through as a player, because you even laughed when I said the Bears players, they know they're not winning this year. But you said that's not the way it goes. And that's specific in week one. Like, everybody, hope springs eternal in week one, no?
It does. There's always optimism. You want to surprise everybody, too. So in the league, a lot of times scheme helps you, right, Patrick? You know, it's the element of surprise. You know, I think for this matchup, the Ravens and the Jets, right? I mean, you kind of know what each team is going to do from a coaching standpoint. But as players, are you ready for that game plan? Like, is scheme going to help us, or are they going to rely on me as my ability? I really think, like, with Flacco at quarterback, it's going to be more scheme-oriented with the Jets in that first game. With the Ravens, even if it's Zach Wilson, I think it'd be scheme-oriented. With the Ravens, I don't know yet. I'm kind of curious about what they're going to unveil to us in terms of what Lamar Jackson is going to be from a pocket passer standpoint, or are they just going to disguise what they've always done with the play action? So I'm curious about the Ravens. There's some question marks out there about the Ravens. Therefore, from a betting standpoint, catching 7 points isn't a bad angle there.
I'm not laying 7 on the road in week one with the 85 Bears, mm-hmm. let alone the Ravens who are going to be banged up going into that game. That's, again, I love the Jets week one catching the 7. Okay, tonight, Pritch, you got Seattle laying 3.5. I already in pocket have, I just went money line just to mitigate the risk with the 3.5. I laid $1.75 with Seattle. Here's the reasons. Eberflus, it's a short week. They're traveling across the country. He said, like we just heard from the reporter, blink, you're going to miss the starters. They're going to play 6 to 10 plays. Mm-hmm. And then Chicago is shutting it down. You're going to see Smith for most of the first half. Then Jacob Eason is capable. I do like the Seahawks. I just went money line. And I think it's an overreaction on the total. I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm going to go under the 39.5.
Yeah, I'm looking for overreactions for totals too. I mean, I don't really bet preseason. I gather intel mostly. But the money line situation for Seattle makes a ton of sense too, especially when you have the starting quarterback, week one starter, the regular season probably going a full half of football. They only have two quarterbacks, right? And I think the Seattle Seahawks are also going to be conscious about not getting people banged up too much too. So we'll see about how they go about with their game planning, but I'm all out. I'm checked out with the Chicago Bears. So I am. I can't get there with them. Even with the hungry nature of that young roster, Brad Biggs talked about that too. The competition level. I just can't rally behind that right now in the preseason for Chicago.
I think Smith, Geno's a vet. I think he's going to look at Locke's absence as a way to really capitalize and take the starting job. So I do like Seattle tonight. Pritch, pleasure working with you. And guess what? We get to do it for 2 hours tomorrow.
That's
buddy.
Right. Pleasure as always working with you, Patrick. Okay. Look forward to tomorrow as well.
Thank you, Mike Pritchard. Appreciate you. Odds On coming up next with more Deshaun Watson news here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.